show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get counted down. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, you better believe it. All that's left is the truth, and that's what you're going to get on this program. Here we are, the Guy James Show, part of the Head On Radio Network, coming to you from beautiful Southwest Florida, the sandy beaches and the blue waters of beautiful Southwest Florida. It is a gorgeous day here today. Very hot. Been extremely hot the past few days. Unseasonably warm. Lots of you know that, well, we come to you from South Florida, and you might think, well, it's extremely hot there. Usually you can kind of plan on it being about 95 every day this time of year, but it's been 98 for the last 3 days, which is highly unusual. Set a record, actually. So there you have the weather report, and I hope it's nice where you are. I hope a lot of you, if any of you are living in the Texas area there, getting that terrific rain, my God, what a mess that is. And I hope everybody is able to stay safe and sound and dry. We were in Washington, D.C. last week, and it was hot there as well, especially Monday and Tuesday. As you all know, we went to the Take Back America conference. Technically, it didn't turn out so well, but personally, I have to tell you that it was a great several days in Washington, D.C. You know, walking around Washington, every time I go there, it seems like I only get about half of the things done that I'd planned, and this time was no exception. As you know, there were some serious technical problems, and we didn't have the show turn out the way we liked. But despite the difficulties, I still managed to enjoy myself, probably like I've never enjoyed myself in that town. I've been there many, many, many times, and I'd have to say I enjoyed myself more this time than I ever have. Even the simple little pleasures, you know, to take time, sit out by the garden area, by the pool at the hotel, and enjoy that in the evening, and taking that long walk down to DuPont Circle to the National Mall and enjoying the National Cathedral and the Capitol Building and all of the monuments. And, of course, the Vietnam Wall and the Korean Conflict Memorial, which is especially poignant at night. The new Second World War Memorial. I enjoyed all those things. Great meals, wonderful conversation. Great to meet all of our friends there. It's always exciting to be there, even if you only make it halfway around the town. But you, as you know, half a loaf is better than none. And probably the best part about the whole trip was able to renew friendship with an old and extremely very dear friend of about 30 years. And it's always a wonderful thing to have friends, as you well know, close friends, that time and distance doesn't seem to matter. Isn't it great when you can hit it off with someone so well over the years that you don't see them again for a long, long time, even a couple of years in this case, and you can take right up where you left off with your conversation and so forth. A great thing, a wonderful thing, and my friends know who I'm talking about. I won't embarrass anybody and mention their name, but a wonderful time nonetheless. And like I said, it was a great time. Enjoy Washington, D.C. always, but just never quite enjoyed it like I did this particular time. It was nice to have time in the evenings to sit back and enjoy the city, enjoy the sights. It's a wonderful city at night, a beautiful city at night. And I know some of my friends say, oh, you go on and on and on about Washington. Yes, I do, and it's got its sleazy parts and all that, but it's also a great, great city to visit. It was alive with kids this time, high school kids, thousands of them, busloads of them everywhere, and that's a wonderful thing to see. And I'm glad that happens, and I'm glad that people have the wherewithal to take these young kids to Washington, D.C. and have them see the, participate, see the houses of Congress, understand what Washington, D.C. is all about, and maybe spur them on to actually take part in our government and be an active part for the rest of their lives in the political process. I think that's important. Good to have all of you along with us today. I was just looking to see here what kind of an audience we got today. We've got a good audience today. And yesterday we were silent, the National Day of Silence for Internet Radio, as you well know. And we hope you'll participate in our program today. And you can do that by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. God, even last week, although Washington is a very, very tiresome town, you walk and walk and walk around and see all the sights of... kind of good and kind of unusual for me to get to sleep in a couple of mornings, and I don't mean late, but sleep in the morning, kind of lay in bed and relax a little bit, you know? I don't get to do that very often, and it was a good thing. So I came back, and on the one hand, extremely tired physically, and on the other hand, pretty well refreshed mentally, and that's a good thing. 866-546-5254, enough of the trip to Washington. Oh, I do have a story for you. I heard a great story by a taxi driver in Washington, and I love this. We were going by this big complex where a lot of the rich and famous generals and admirals and ex-congressmen and high-powered attorneys live in Washington, and... told us a story about a friend of his who was a taxi driver there many years ago and stopped, and Lena Horne lived at this one particular complex. And anyway, the driver pulled up, and the fare was none other than Mr. Frank Sinatra. And so he picked up Mr. Sinatra and took him on his way, took him to the location he desired. And when they got there, Mr. Sinatra asked him how much was the fare, and he paid the fare and handed the driver $100 tip. And this has been some time ago, naturally, because Frank Sinatra's been gone for a long, long time. And Mr. Sinatra, being Frank Sinatra, said to the driver, "Hey, I bet no one's ever given you a $100 tip before." And the driver said, "Well, yes, sir. I got a $100 tip one other time." And so Sinatra reached into his billfold, pulled out another $100 bill and handed it to him and said, "I'll bet no one's ever given you $200 as a tip." And the driver said, "That's right. No one's ever given me $200 a tip." And Sinatra said, "Hey, by the way, who was the other person that gave you the $100 tip?" And the driver said, "It was you, Mr. Sinatra." I love that story. I really do. Got a chance to see Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton was doing his show on Radio Row there, and of course Tom Hartman was there, and John Elliott, who else? Peter B. Collins, good to visit with all those folks. Where are we going with the show today? I don't know. Finally got our cell phone back in action today. Little puppy Sophie got a hold of my cell phone a couple of days ago, and, well, frankly, did a number on it. Oh, yes. And so back in business today. I ordered a replacement phone from this outfit, a reconditioned one, just like the one I had. And if any of you want to know, I'll email you the link. But my goodness, I called them yesterday, ordered a replacement, came in the mail today, took it down to my cell phone provider. They programmed it, bang, zoom, didn't charge me hardly anything, and I got a new phone for, reconditioned, but it looks like a brand new one. So I'll be glad to recommend that to anybody. Why am I doing all this personal stuff today? And one other thing. Over the years, I've traveled many thousands of miles in airlines, and I guess I've been lucky. As I mentioned to you, except for that time I came back from Crawford, Texas, at the Peace House and visiting with Cindy Sheehan and all that. Except for that time, got delayed and missed a flight and all that sort of thing. And they made up for it by giving me a first-class flight all the way back home. But in all the years I've traveled, I've never really had any big trouble. So I'm on the way to Washington last Sunday and have to take a puddle jumper to Miami. And then thunder and lightning came along and closed the airport and sat there for, a couple of hours past time. And so we were delayed. And it was a straight-through shot to Washington from Miami. And finally, they opened the airport up again. And this is with, and I want to mention this specifically, with American Airlines, okay? American Airlines. I promised them I would tell this story, and I'm going to. Got to Washington, got off the plane, went to the luggage carousel, and no luggage. Not only was my luggage not there, the luggage of about 35 other people wasn't there, and I don't think I've ever seen a mob scene quite like this. And I wanted to tell the story particularly because, as I promised the officials from American Airlines that I would, it wasn't pretty, especially because the people for American Airlines, the representatives at Washington National Airport, were just abysmal. Threw up their hands and said, we lose luggage all the time. What's the big deal? We'll get it to you. Maybe we'll have it by Tuesday. Maybe we'll have it by tomorrow. To make a long story short, arrived with all of our, without our technical equipment, arrived without our luggage, checked into the hotel. Finally did get our luggage about 6 o'clock the next morning, something like that. But I want to thank American Airlines for being crass and unprofessional. And if I can help it, I don't think I'll ever go on an American Airlines plane again. So there you have my story about the saga of Guy James going to Washington, D.C. once again. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program, and I hope you will. I've got something on my mind since about 7 p.m. last evening, and as you might expect, I have to comment on it. I've got to get it off my chest, and the subject, of course, as you might expect since 7 o'clock last evening, is Ann Coulter. I believe that Ann Coulter's appearance on Chris Matthews' program last night was probably the most vile, despicable, reprehensible, just plain disgusting performance I've ever watched on the television. It was so revolting as to appear to me to be bordering on obscene, and I'm not easily offended. You know, we had all this hubbub over Janet Jackson's bare breast that happened, a tenth of a second a couple of years back, and all the FCC trouble over that and all the fines and everything. And yet we see Ann Coulter last night going way, way beyond the bounds of decency and not a word from the right that I've seen so far. We had John Edwards' wife, as many of you know by now, Elizabeth, called the show to ask Coulter to stop the vicious personal attacks, and she was ridiculed, Elizabeth Edwards was, by a totally unapologetic Coulter who mocked this mother, who, among other things, was objecting to Coulter writing a column saying that Edwards may as well have had a bumper sticker on the back of his car a couple of years ago saying, "Ask me about my dead son." And she said that because John Edwards had commented publicly about the death of his son, tragic death of his 16-year-old son. More or less, Coulter was accusing John Edwards, as good and decent a man who's ever been on the political stage, she was accusing him of using his son's death to gain political advantage. This horrible woman, who, and let's face it, is a symbol for the right, the hero to many conservative Republicans, she mocked someone because they were a grieving parent who had lost a child and dared to talk about it publicly. Ann Coulter is, in fact, the model of right-wing conservatives. She is, in my opinion, the devil incarnate. I don't know that I've ever seen such a loathsome creature, someone that I've despised so much as Ann Coulter. And probably the most disconcerting part of the whole scene last evening was that there was a group of young Republicans standing behind her, cheering her on. And to think that this vile woman is held up as some sort of a role model for young people literally makes me sick to my stomach. The sneers, the vicious comments she made toward Elizabeth Edwards, her contemptible attitude, was enough to make me finally turn the channel in complete outrage and disgust. And I don't want to put it all on Ann Coulter. I'm disgusted with Chris Matthews for giving this modern day, who can we compare her to, thinking back over the years. The name that comes to mind is Elizabeth Bathory, and a lot of you might know that Elizabeth Bathory was a very evil, twisted woman, and if you think back through history, she was a Transylvanian princess in the 16th century who thought that bathing in human blood would make her look young forever. That was her claim to fame. She's known as one of the most evil people in history. But Ann Coulter's fame and fortune have come almost entirely from denigrating others and from selling her books to simple-minded people who are foolish enough to give up their money to buy her brand of attack journalism, if it can be called journalism at all. Matthews had her on his program to get ratings, and I'm sure he got them last night, but Chris, at what price did you get those ratings last night? You allowed this disgusting creature to come on your show and sell her books while making you look like a monkey, Chris, and you truly did look like a monkey for allowing that horrible scene to take place on your program last night. I'll never forget, and I will never forgive that woman's performance last night. She has a right to free speech, but she also has some sort of an obligation to stay within the parameters of decency on public airwaves. Shame on her, and shame on Chris Matthews. And most of all, shame on anyone who holds this woman up as any sort of an example whatsoever. She disgusts me. I... 866-546-5254. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, guys. Kevin from Washington, D.C. I got one word to describe Ann Coulter. She is a cannibal. This woman would devour her own young, not to survive, just to maintain her lifestyle.
I think you're right.
I can almost comprehend someone who would resort to cannibalism in order to survive. But she would do it for comfort. She is a vile human being of the lowest order. She's a whore, which you so-called described before. And when I'm saying whore, I don't mean to insult sex workers because they actually provide a service, you know,
yes,
whether people want it or need it. But this woman would say and do anything to, you know, and I'm enraged. I am enraged because it's like, what is going on? you know, with this society who gives people like this a platform. You know, is this, you know, what conservatives are all about? If it is, and like you said, she is the epitome of conservatism. Because, you know, and if you read her biography, her father was this way. He used to go around, he built a career on breaking news.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It transcends generations.
It does. It does.
And you know, it's like this woman is, and I've come down to it, she is a cannibal. That's all I can describe her as.
I agree. I can't think of enough adjectives for her. I guess since you and I are talking about her today, she achieved her goal last night. That's probably what she's after.
But you know, the reality is, Miss Edwards got the best of her because.
Oh yes.
Yeah, she did. First of all, Edwards' campaign contributions have gone up, and not only that, she was wearing shades, so she was basically holding back tears when she saw the crowd was cheering mostly for Miss Edwards.
I think you're right. I think she was caught off guard, and Elizabeth Edwards could not have said her piece any better. She said it in true genteel style. The woman is nothing if she is not stylish and compassionate. Wonderful woman.
It's total class act. It's not an act. It's just genuine humanity. And this is, you know, Republicans like to talk about marital values and family values. The Edwards family is the epitome of what it is, what family values is all about.
Absolutely. And Coulter tried to make fun of her husband for what he did and how he made his money. He made his money defending small people, little people. Yes, he made money off of it, but he made his money defending little people in court. And
instead of busting unions like her father did.
Yeah, yeah.
And spreading lies like she built her legal career on. But I'm talking about, you know, besides making money, but I'm talking about the family values. Edwards had been married to his wife for, what, 20-some-odd, almost 30 years?
Yeah.
He didn't trade her in every 10 or so years like a lot of these guys do.
Nope. And here they are in a crisis situation in their marriage, the second horrible crisis they've had, losing their child, which nothing can be worse. And here they are in a desperate situation now with her health and... you know, they're facing it together. They're facing it with courage. And she was nothing but a class act last night. And I think if Coulter, she is not, but if Coulter was capable of feeling shame, then she should have. But, of course, we know she is not capable of that.
Well, like I said, you know, this could be a day of reckoning for Ann Coulter. You know, maybe this might have been the start of it or whatever, but there will be a day of reckoning for her.
I keep hoping.
Well, you know, everything comes to an end. You know, it's like it all, and you know what? Somebody more vicious. And like I said, conservatives are like rats. They tend to feed off of one another, and usually somebody badder and worse is going to come out.
Well, you're right. You know, one of Coulter's heroes is Joseph McCarthy, and we all know what happened to him and his reputation before he went on.
Yeah.
So she will most likely join him in hell.
Yeah, it's like most conservatives are like the Sith. If you're into the Star Wars sagas, where there cannot be too many of them because they'll end up killing and destroying one another, which makes things even worse.
Yes. Hey, thanks for your call. Good call, and
okay.
I completely agree. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye now. Let's head on over here to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'm wondering why. I don't understand how all this is supposed to be free speech, you know, when they say that she's always saying something about somebody being murdered or killed or something, you know. Yeah. She's saying about he should be assassinated, and you know why is that free speech?
Well, you can see, you know, you can't yell fire in a darkened theater, but I guess you can do plays on words like she does. Let me take about just a few seconds here, and let's give everybody a taste of what she did say here.
Yeah, okay.
So I've learned my lesson. If I'm going to say anything about John Edwards in the future, I'll just wish he had been killed in a terrorist assassination plot.
Yeah, I'll just wish he'd been killed in the terrorist assassination plot. Yeah, she and what was it? She called John Edwards names a while back. And
isn't it interesting that the Republicans are really going after him?
Yeah,
in so many ways.
Well, that's become a pattern. No matter who it is, they're going to go after him.
But for some reason, they're really after him.
Yes, they are.
It's strange, yeah, for me.
They are.
But talking about Matthews, I've been disgusted with that guy for a long time, especially when he was just slathering all over himself about the flight that Bush took to the ship, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
he just went haywire over that. Oh, nobody can beat him now. It's just... the women are just going to go crazy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that well, Juanita. You're exactly right. He just gushed over him, over that whole thing.
Now he's gushing over, what's his face? To me, the sourdough, you know, guy.
The actor.
The actor, yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going blank here. Well, that
and
guy.
Another one I don't trust is that the guy from... the peninsula, you know, the one that his secretary died in his office mysteriously.
Oh, yeah, Joe Scarborough.
I don't trust him. You know, people say, oh, he's changed. No. I don't trust that any of them changes.
You know why? You know why his tune has changed a little bit? For money. He knows he has to change his tune a little bit right now, and so he is.
Isn't it all money, really?
Sure. That's what Ann Coulter's shtick was all about last night.
Yeah.
Money, selling books. And she knows that little weirdo right-wing zealot army of hers will be out buying her book today. She knows that.
But the problem is that there are some people who will carry it through. And they know it.
Yeah.
They've got to know it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Anyway, I just don't understand... free speech like that. I don't see we're threatening, you know, or saying they should be killed, you know, like...
Well, and what was it she said about the 9/11 widows? And then way back when she said, too bad the bombers didn't hit the New York Times building. And,
She has a
history of this. And yet, do you hear any public condemnation by people on the right about her? No.
No, because she's on the right.
Every one of the Republican candidates for president should be out front of this today, condemning what she said last night. Every one of them should, if they're decent. Yes.
But I guess they're afraid to.
Sure.
But one more thing I just thought of.
Sure.
You heard about Chrystia Whitman?
Oh, yes.
Where was that? Is that on that? Has that been on C-SPAN? That hearing or not?
Well... Yes, it has been on C-SPAN. I've only got to see a couple of tapes of it. In fact, I was thinking I had some of it here. Her tete-a-tete with a couple of the people, with Ellison, for example. They went back and forth pretty hard on that. But hey,
well, they said the crowd was really booing her.
Well, hey, she jumped ship and quit the administration, and now she's trying to say. Well,
it wasn't her fault.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with this.
Right.
Typical, isn't it? Isn't it typical?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The party of personal responsibility wants everybody else to take personal responsibility.
I don't see how some of them can sleep at night. I really don't.
Oh, I don't either.
They can. They don't give a happy. They don't care.
No.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Thank you, Juanita. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to take a... break right now, and we'll be back in just a moment or two. And don't forget, you can get on the phones, 866-546-5254.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days, so surprise.
Head on radionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm heart of your love and mine. To feel you all around me and to take your hand along the sand, I bet I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes I'd find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing. 'Twould make me sing, but I may as well try and catch the wind. Leave all my blues behind. For standing in your heart is where I want to be and long to be. I bet I may as well try and catch the wind.
Back with the one and only Guy James here in the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Man, I'm glad to be back with all of you. I really am. Come back a little bit invigorated from a trip that was both, well, technically not so good, but personally very enjoyable last week. Glad to have all of you along with us. Of course, we do hope you'll join the program this afternoon, and you can do that toll-free by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. And if you've got minutes to spare, if you're on Vonage or one of those type of deals and you've got unlimited minutes, call us at 941-876-6896. That's 941-876-6896. If you've got minutes to spare and don't want to charge up the old 866 bill here. Thank you. Good to hear from all of you today. Thank you for all of the emails we've gotten. My goodness. Had to start sorting through email here the past few days. Gotten a little bit behind on our electronic correspondence, and I do apologize for that. We do what we can. Yes, indeed. 866-546-5254. We were talking briefly about, not briefly, but about Ann Coulter last night, and I'm going to get back to the phones here in just a moment. You know, Elizabeth Edwards confronted Ann Coulter during that live interview last night, and she said, and she was exactly right, that Ann Coulter's personal attacks on Senator John Edwards and others were based on the language of hate. And that is what Ann Coulter is all about. And that is what the far right is all about. Hatred. Hatred. Do you remember what they did to Al Gore? Do you remember what standing out in front of his house at the Naval Observatory, where Dick Cheney lives now, chanting, "Get out of Dick Cheney's house"? You remember that, I'm sure, after the Supreme Court had handed the election. And even during that time, "Get out of Dick Cheney's house." Hatred. Hatred. Vile, unadulterated hatred. You remember the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. A worse hate group has never existed in this country against a political opponent. Look at what they did to John Kerry, a man of honor, a man greatly respected in the military community. Look at what these people did to John Kerry. Hatred. That's what they live off of. Hatred and fear. This administration has fostered fear in the hearts of the American people ever since the first day of their administration. They've taken advantage of 9/11 to promote fear and to keep their power through fear. And they've done it. They've succeeded. Fear and hatred. That is what the right wing is all about. And they are oh so worried. Oh, so worried right now. Frantic right now, I might add. I heard Laura Ingraham this morning talking about, oh my God, the Democrats are trying to bring back the fairness doctrine. Oh, heaven forbid that the fairness doctrine should come back. And that the airwaves, the radio airwaves in this country might be evened up just a tad. And I'm speaking as someone who knows. I'm speaking into someone who's been there when it comes to terrestrial radio and how you get shoved aside by the ownership of radio stations with a hardcore right-wing ideology that won't give anybody on the left even a chance. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to that subject. Your program does not meet the expectations of our politically conservative audience. I'll never forget that phrase. Why? Because it's not given a chance. That's why. How would you convince somebody that all the right-wing broadcasters that have infected and infested the airwaves in this country are better than all of the broadcasters on the left and have a better message? That's folly. That's ridiculous. It's asinine. It's because the ownership of these stations have an ideology. They've got the airwaves sewn up. They know it, and they are afraid that they'd have to give up that advantage, and make no mistake about it, it is a tremendous advantage. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Hi, Guy, this is Selena from Lori DeWall's office.
From who?
Lori DeWall's office regarding Robert Boris.
Yes.
Hi,
we're on the air right now.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was just calling about the interview for Robert Boris. He's waiting for your call right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Huh. Because I didn't have my secretary take care of that one. Don't know what happened on it. Sorry about that. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. Do give us a call. That's what you get for not having a secretary. Don't know what happened. You know, I was walking around last week in the evening in Washington, and it's a great time to walk around there, especially when it's as hot as it was. And as I walked around the old executive office building, I couldn't help but think of the way that it's taken on such a sinister look in the past few years. I mean, it's always an ugly building. People can agree to disagree on that. It's an ugly building. But the architecture, of course, if you've been there and you've seen it, it's overdone. There's too many windows, too many columns, kind of a dark and foreboding type atmosphere. But since Dick Cheney has taken up residence in the building, it's become even more unpleasant to look at. And just knowing that Cheney is doing his dirty work in the building makes it have some sort of an aura of evil and damnation about it. It's sad, really, that because of this current administration, Washington has taken on a different look. It's been soiled. And it's been sullied by these people. And they talked about Bill Clinton disgracing the White House. Please, give me a break. How could you sully and soil the buildings in the Capitol as much as these people have with their lies and untruths and some of the devastating things they've done to the American people? What they've done to the justice system, their corruption of the justice system. How could it be any worse than that? The Bushes, the Cheneys, the Rumsfeld, the Gonzaleses, Wolfowitz, and Pearl, and Rove. And the whole rotten gang of them put a stain on Washington that's going to be hard to scrub off in the years to come. The strongest disinfectant in the world won't take away the stink these people have left behind when they leave Washington, D.C. It's going to take years. Years and years and years. I don't know if it can ever be scrubbed clean. I don't think anybody will ever forget the damage that these people have done. On a lighter note, Paris Hilton got out of jail last night. Hurrah. Paris is free. I think this is bigger news in the press than it was in the city of Paris when it was freed from the Nazis during World War II. This blonde little scarecrow of a girl who's succeeded in gaining the attention of almost the entire world while having no talent that I can see other than starring in a homemade sex video says she's looking forward to a good meal and something other than an orange jumpsuit to wear. I see already she's been offered hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars for interviews. She'll come out of this looking just fine, I'm sure. And also did want to mention that it looks as if now some of the senators are coming on the right, are coming to their senses. Senators Lugar and Voinovich are both speaking out now about the war. Both saying things aren't going so well. Some are saying that that Voinovich and Lugar are courageous in speaking out against the president's policies. I want to ask, if this is courage right now, how courageous is it to back Bush's war from the very beginning? Everything he asked for, everything he wanted, how courageous is it to back him to the hilt from the very beginning? And then when things start to get a little bit politically uncomfortable for you and your party, all of a sudden you're against it. And that goes for Democrats, too. Could name a couple of Democrats that have done the same thing, that have backed us all the way. And now that things have gotten a little dicey, now that about 67-70%, depending on where you look, of the American public thinks this is wrong, and has been wrong from the very beginning, that it's immoral, and we've had enough. Now, some of these people have had an epiphany. Oh my. Maybe we better leave. Maybe General Petraeus can't do what he told us he can do. Maybe these 30,000 troops they sent in there can't hold the ground that they thought they could. Maybe the billions of dollars that we've spent on training Iraqi troops to hold the ground once we've taken it, maybe they can't do the job. Maybe we've wasted our money training these people. We already know that only about half of them show up for duty when they're supposed to. Maybe they just don't feel so inclined. So we've spent all this money, and Congress has willingly gone along with it, the Republican Congress before this one started. And I have to say, when this Democratic-controlled Congress had a chance to shut off the money, they didn't. Let's be fair. They had a chance to do it, and they did not. And even though they say they don't have complete control, and the Republicans could have stopped them, they could have filibustered, they could have done a lot of things, they could have stopped sending another bill back to the president on the funding of this war, but they didn't have the political courage to do it. Didn't have the political courage to fight a 26% president. And when you don't have the political will, when you don't have the political courage to go against a 26% president, when will you have the courage to do the right thing? Probably never. Just proves one thing to me. That you didn't have the courage to do the right thing. Didn't have the guts to do the right thing. When you were called upon to represent the will of the American people, he just looked at him and gave him the finger and said, I don't care what you think. I just don't care what you think. That's what these people said to the American public. Exactly what they said to him. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a moment.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please, because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television
right.
network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, Bob.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head-on with Bob Kincaid, weeknights 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a police dog craving for a fight.
This is Gore Vidal. Can you name the one country on earth where the government can steal elections, strip away basic rights, spy on civilians, launch wars based on lies, and where the people do not take over the nation's capital in protest? If you said the United States, you'd be right. So let's remedy that by calling our Congress members and asking them to support the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the saw their dog just die. Everybody talking into their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. The shining artifact of the past. And everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. Everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. Cross on top of Calvary to the beach at Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. proud member of the Head On Radio Network. And happy to be with you today, our listeners, most important people in the world. We value your opinions. We value your ideas. We value your thoughts on the political issues of the day and anything else you'd like to talk about, of course, but always enough going on politically in the country to have plenty of fodder for the talk radio machine here on the left. All that's left is the truth. Yes, indeed, it is. Welcome back. Good to have you with us here today. And I'm glad to be back. Having a kind of a little bit of a layoff here, and don't know if I'm rusty or what, but was real excited to get back with you today. Yesterday, of course, being National Day of Silence on internet radio. Try and, well, be in sympathy with everybody that this, well, the way they're trying to affect internet talk radio. You know, we mentioned a little bit earlier about this fairness doctrine problem that the right has, and they're extremely worried about this. They're very worried about this because they know. They know that the reason that they've taken control of political discourse in this country is because of right-wing talk radio. And, you know, I hate to admit that in a way. I hate to give Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham, and but especially Limbaugh, I hate to give them that kind of credit, but the credit is due. And the Republicans that have gained office in the past, 15 years, they know damn well that they owe a good deal of their success to right-wing radio. Rush Limbaugh is one of their heroes. He probably is their hero, their god. Make no mistake about it, his influence has put plenty of people in the houses of Congress. And so, when the fairness doctrine comes up, when any talk at all of getting the public, and let's not make a mistake here, let's call it what it is, the public airwaves, any talk of making that fair again, oh, that's pretty scary to those folks. Oh, no, heaven forbid that there should be some lefties on terrestrial radio. The ones that have gained some strength. I mean, let's face it, we've got some good broadcasters on the left. Good broadcasters. Knowledgeable. Worthy. The right likes to talk about, radio on the left could never be commercially viable. Au contraire, it most certainly could. And is in a few markets, if only given a chance. We happen to think internet radio is the venue of the future for talk radio. We're kind of like, here on Head On Radio Network, we're kind of like Ted Turner was when he started CNN. Started something new. Took a big step, able to stick with it and work with it until it caught on because it had faith that it would. Ted Turner was right. Bob Kincaid's going to be right, starting up the Head On Radio Network and all the broadcasters on this network, working hard to see that we succeed and that we gain our place in this new arena. Because let's face it, more and more and more people are listening to internet radio. And someday, sooner or later, hopefully sooner, there'll be the tide will turn. You know it will. And we'll be where we need to be as far as evening things up in this country. I love it when they talk about the liberal media. We're outgunned. You know, it's, all we've got is talk radio. Oh, really? What about Fox? What about the Wall Street Journal? What about the editorial pages of half the newspapers in the country? Oh, gee, all we've got. Mm-hmm, sure. We're going to pause for the news at the top of the hour here in the Guy James Show. Don't go away. We'll be back in about 5 or 6 minutes, and I expect you to be here.
This is the Quality News Network. England has a new prime minister. Labour leader Gordon Brown was formally asked by the Queen to form a government. The 56-year-old Mr. Brown had been waiting in the wings for 10 years from his post as Tony Blair's chancellor. Blair stepped aside this morning after serving three terms. Mr. Blair has been offered the position of peace envoy to the Middle East by the European Quartet. The White House and Vice President Dick Cheney's office have been subpoenaed by the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Democratic chairman of the committee, Patrick Leahy from Vermont, signed the subpoenas that also named the National Security Council and the Justice Department. The committee is deepening its probe of President Bush's warrant-free eavesdropping program. The Israeli Air Force fired on a group of Palestinian gunmen that were advancing on Israeli ground troops at a Gaza Strip crossing. 12 Palestinians were killed, 40 wounded in the skirmish. Iran's oil ministry implemented gas rationing late last night with just 3 hours' notice, causing a rush by drivers to fill up their tanks. Angry citizens set two gas stations on fire in Tehran and vandalized others. Iran is the world's fourth largest oil producer. Now, private car owners will only get 26 gallons of gas a month. The Senate voted yesterday to move forward with the immigration bill. The measure faces another test vote on Thursday. The South Lake Tahoe forest fire jumped a containment line yesterday afternoon and has now consumed almost 5 square miles and destroyed over 200 homes. Winds gusting to 40 miles per hour are forecast for today. Firefighters are reporting 44% containment, with full containment expected by Tuesday night. The fire's origin has been pinpointed to an area with illegal campfires. 18 inches of rain has fallen since midnight in and around central Texas. San Gabriel River has swollen over its banks, and the Mansfield Dam is opening its gates to bring down the level on Lake Travis, the Highland Lakes catch basin. Citizens are being notified to stay away from the swift-moving water. About 700 pages of formerly classified CIA documents are now available to the public, called the Family Jewels. The documents detail activities between 1959 and 1973. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are up next.
Harry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Egyptologists are calling their latest discovery the find of the century. Today in Cairo, experts announced the identification of a female mummy as Hatshepsut, Egypt's most famous female ruler, being billed as the biggest archaeological find since the discovery of King Tut's tomb in 1922. 180 food factories have been shuttered in China because inspectors discovered a whole host of chemicals being used, including illegal dyes and formaldehyde. The revelations are significant because China previously said violations were performed by a few rogue processors. Northwest Airlines has canceled more than 825 flights since last week, as many as 194 yesterday. One passenger in Detroit waited for 7.5 hours only to find out that his flight was canceled altogether. Northwest is blaming the weather, traffic control, and crew shortages. And they've also said that they will not waive cancellation or change penalties. Federal Reserve Bank huddles today and tomorrow. It's widely expected to hold the key interest rate at 5.25%. In Chicago, the four-month fraud trial of media tycoon Conrad Black goes to a jury today. He faces decades in prison. Well, the Dow has rallied back. It's up 2 points right now, and oil is up $1.15. NASDAQ is up 13. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 10 a.m. on Foxed Up with John Fox. We're going to slow it down a tad and take a look at another Billy, Billy Holiday. You're not going to want to miss this one. Miss Holiday talks about her nickname, how she developed her style, and a great, great duet with Satchmo.
Promise to me you'll dream a little dream of me.
Oh, yeah. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
Six. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. It is a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. Indeed it is. And coming to you from the official Guy James Show studios here in Southwest Florida, and talking to people all around the country, all around the world, actually. So, welcome to the program. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. My, what an interesting time. I see late breaking news. They've issued some subpoenas to the White House, probably for Cheney. Interesting. Will we ever end up with the constitutional crisis that many of us have longed for? Will we ever have the Democrats challenging this White House, this Dick Cheney, this Karl Rove, for information that they've asked for and been told by the White House to go straight to hell for a long time now? Will we ever get that information? Will the Democrats ever stop just harping about it and really act on it and do something about it? Is there anything they can do except to go to court? If that's the only thing they can do, I hope they will do it. I hope they will press this administration right down to the very end to try and get answers about all the graft and corruption and criminal activity that's taken place and unethical behavior that's taken place in this administration. It's so interesting how many people, and I talked to somebody just today about the political situation here in this country, and I get so frustrated when I talk to somebody. It comes up in conversation. Oh, you do a political talk radio. Well, I'm not you know, I don't care all that much about it. I can't do anything about it anyway. And you know what? Really, the war isn't affecting me, and I don't know anybody it is affecting. So, you know, why should I be interested? Why should I waste my time listening to talk radio? Why should I waste my time going on the internet, going to some of the political places and learning about this when really and truly it just doesn't affect me all that much, right? So many people don't respond to any kind of political or governmental problem until it shows up on their own doorstep. And that's one of the huge problems we have here in this country right now. A huge problem. Until it's their kid that has to go to the Bush War. Until it's them who gets wiretapped. Until it's them who loses the privilege of habeas corpus. The right to habeas corpus. Until it's them who needs to file bankruptcy and can't because of the new bankruptcy bill pushed and getting passed by buying big business, buying our congressman. Until it's them who loses their job to unfair competition from overseas, you might as well say to slave labor, or because Walmart drove their small employer out of business with unfair business practices. They don't worry about stolen elections until they find out it was their vote that was stolen. They don't say, if they voted at all, they don't say anything until they lose their health insurance, and then they can't afford to go to a doctor or have to watch one of their family members suffer from illness or disease because they don't have insurance to pay the freight. Oh, yeah. It's always time to speak out when the Grim Reaper shows up at your door. But a hell of a lot of people don't say a damn thing when it's their neighbor who has to pay the piper. And that's the biggest problem we have in this country right now. We're not looking out for each other. It doesn't have to be split, and it shouldn't be split between the left and the right. We should look out for each other. You can call that socialism, you can call that what you want, but we need to look out for each other. We have a human responsibility. We have an ethical responsibility in this country. If we are countrymen, since we're all under this flag, since we live in this great nation, we have an obligation to one another as a society to look out for one another. To help take care of those who can't quite take care of themselves. To help the guy that's downtrodden at the moment. To help the guy that has too little. As Franklin Roosevelt said, and I'll butcher it, you know, we're not a success as a nation until we have the ability to help those who have too little. The people that have too much will go ahead and have the empathy and the ability and the desire to help take care of those who have too little. I butchered what Franklin Roosevelt really said there, but you get my meaning. We live under this flag. We live within the borders of this great country. This is a great nation. I don't believe it's as great as it once was, but we're drifting away from that responsibility. You look back at the Second World War, for example. And I was born during the Second World War. That gives you an idea of how long in the tooth I am. But having spent a lot of time with a lot of people who lived through that time, my own father was in the Pacific theater of the war. Having talked to so many people and been raised by people of that generation, the greatest generation, in my opinion, there was a sense of community in this country. And there was more of a sense of looking out for each other during that time than there is now.
And it seems the farther along this society has gotten, the farther it's progressed, if you want to call it progress, the less we are looking out for each other. And it seems the farther we go, the more greed boils to the surface. There's more wealth than ever before in this country. But the problem is it's concentrated in the hands of fewer people than it's ever been concentrated in, except maybe back for the time to the robber barons of the Carnegies and the Mellons and the Rockefellers and so forth. We're back to that time now, when the great majority of the wealth is concentrated in the hands of a few. And that is dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. 866-546-5254. I hope you'll give us a call here on the program today. I'd like to hear what you have to say. We plan on talking a little bit about Fred Thompson today, perhaps, and a little bit about Rudy Giuliani. I had planned to. If not today, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Like to hear your thoughts, your ideas on what we talk about on this program. And speaking of that, let's go to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
It's your Northern California fan club here.
Hello, Dave.
I wanted to share a couple of thoughts on Edwards and why the right is attacking so much. My own little poll is most all the people that I talk to favor Edwards. Edwards or Kucinich. And very few people like Hillary. Hillary has been selected by the corporatist America, the greedy medias that they operate. And I believe the media is being told, play down Edwards, say that he's barely staying on a level or sliding. And I recall back to a time when they caught one or two of them, Armstrong, Williams, and such. I'm convinced this administration is not beneath their character to be reaching down inside the Treasury jar and putting big bucks in the pocket of all the right-wing wackos that are willing to do their bidding. And there's a way you could get rich. Just have to be a convert, I guess, Guy. You'd be good, but...
you know, I think we'd be naive if we thought that they wouldn't do that. Dave, you've raised an interesting point. The Armstrong-Williams case, I'd venture to say that, maybe 75% of the people in this country don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, that he was one broadcaster who was carrying the right-wing message and receiving a big check.
As I recall, it was somewhere around $240,000.
You know, you got a better memory than I.
I think that's what it was.
I'm sure they were making it well worth his time. In the country down the river. Anyway, I think that's why we now hear the Ann Coulters and the other sleaze wacko from the right attacking Edwards. He says he is going to bring health care for all, and he plans to pay for it by taxing the very rich, of all things. So you've got to believe this man is a breathing nightmare to the corporatist America.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to do everything they can to minimize him. Make it look like he's not electable. And they'll play up Hillary, who's got her hand out to a lot of these same big corporations that are profiting so much under what's going on now.
Dave, I don't know what it's going to take to break this corporate America spell owning our political leaders. I just wish I knew what it was. I mean, I know what it could take, some genuine campaign finance reform, perhaps. But with the politicians in control of that process, I don't have a lot of faith that that's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, you know, more people like Guy James, like Tony Trupiano, like some of the really greats that are getting the message out as much as we can, and that's Peter B. Collins. He's excellent, too. You spoke of him a little earlier.
Oh, yeah. Peter's a great guy. I really like Peter a lot. And Tony as well. I didn't see Tony last week. I remember I saw him last year at the Take Back America conference. But Yeah, Peter's a very engaging fellow and bright and very well spoken, and John Elliott as well. Good to see those folks always.
And you know, another thing I'd like to share with your listeners too is that there is a site now. I don't have it like clear in front of me, but it is a reelect Al Gore, draftalgore.org, I think it is. And people can go there and sign the petition, and I guess several hundred thousand people have done it right away. So, and he too would be an excellent addition to this country right now, I think.
I heartily agree. I would. It'd be for those that believe in karma. It certainly would be good karma to have Al Gore come back and occupy the Oval Office.
The sleazy right will say, but he's not electable because he's already been elected twice. You know?
I hadn't thought of that angle. Ah, yes.
I suspect them of just about everything, and I don't think I'm wrong often. You know, I think sometimes I'm seen as a bit extreme, but as the deck unfolds, it more and more becomes clear to me that there's just about nothing they're not willing to do for their own selfish aggrandizement.
Well, I think piecemeal is coming out, isn't it? A little here and a little there, and we're finding out the filth and corruption that's infected infected Washington D.C. It's coming out just slowly in dribs and drabs here and there, but it is coming out.
Just about everything they do is an impeachable offense. And Congress sticking their head in the sand. It's just unforgivable.
Yeah, yeah, I heartily agree. It's off the table. I don't think there's any question it's off the table. Yeah, we've got a couple of handfuls of people that would like to see it happen, but by and large, our political elected officials do not have the courage to do it, and they won't. I'm not suffering any illusions here. They will not do it. I'm absolutely convinced. No matter what, they won't do it.
I wonder why. I mean, they know that the people want that to happen. All of America right now feels hold these criminals accountable for what they're doing.
I think the Democrats are like some of these abused women are like a whipped dog. You know, they've been abused for so long that they're cower and fear at any time anybody raises their hands. I think it's something like that. I really do. I'm not feeling very good about it right now, but hopefully somebody will come up with some courage. Dave, good to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Guy.
Bye now. Let's head on over to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. I couldn't sorry to monopolize your line. It's Kevin from Washington, but I have to give you some point is about Armstrong Williams, because he grew up in the same neighborhood I grew up in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Armstrong Williams is a sellout and a political hack, and frankly, this is one thing that I try to inform a lot of other people outside of the African-American community. Black conservatives are running a con and a hustle. They're strictly doing it for the money, like my former lieutenant governor here in the Maryland suburbs, Steele, Michael Steele.
Oh, yeah.
It's a con, it's a hustle, and they're playing you. They are playing, even the white conservatives. Because Armstrong Williams will do whatever it takes to get a dollar, which is most conservatives, but a lot of white people think they're very genuine in their approach, and it's not. It's a con and a hustle.
Well, and it is, and you look at that guy that Matthews has on his show. You know what I'm talking about, the black guy that was on the staff of...
Oh, yeah, from Oklahoma, the former congressman.
Well, not him. Not the former Oklahoma football player, but the guy that was on Cheney's staff here a while back.
He
won't back down an inch. He will not... And that's the way with him and Coulter. They won't concede an inch, no matter what. No matter what, will they back down? The money.
The trick to the con, which is the root word for conservative, is you don't back down an inch. You have to believe in your own BS.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's like what Hitler said. It's, you know, you take the little lie and make it big.
and you believe in the lie. And that's how you gain power. You know, this is all, you know, Mein Kampf is the playbook for a lot of these people. And, you know, and by the way, that guy who was on Cheney's staff, did he get busted for shopping at Target?
No, that's not the one. That's not the one.
Because, you know, prime example, you know, and that's what, like, a lot of black conservatives got to realize is that you're not one of them. The day you think you're one of them is the day, because one small mistake and they're going to drop you like a bad habit. And then where you have to go back to, the greater black community.
That's right. And you are right about that. No question about it. Hey, thanks for calling. Good to hear
from
you.
Okay, bye.
Armstrong Williams. My. I haven't thought about him for a while. I haven't seen him. What'd he call himself? He's not the one who called himself the Black Avenger, is he? Did he call himself that? I don't think so. I guess not. Can't help but think about that damn Ann Coulter last night. That's something to use an old country phrase is stuck in my craw, and I can't get it out of my mind. I've known for a long time, and I guess many of us have, that she made that statement about John Edwards. Might as well have had a bumper sticker on the back of his car saying, "Ask me about my dead son," and I considered it probably the lowest, farthest beneath the belt comment, political comment maybe ever made in the United States. And yet, totally unapologetic about the whole thing. Smears can't answer any charges from Elizabeth Edwards. Can't answer her whatsoever. Can't do the debate on it. Anything like that. Just smears. That's all it's about. Just one smear after another. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick break. We hope you'll come back with us here in just a moment or two. Don't go away.
All this month at Cheney's, it's the War Best Breakfast. A delicious combo of Cheney's favorites, including 3 strips of sizzling Guantanamo bacon, 2 eggs served sunny side up yours, hash brown shirts fried to Aryan perfection, oil-drenched terrorist links, and you won't need a warrant for these waffles. So come with an appetite for weapons of mass destruction and leave quagmired in satisfaction. Eat at Cheney's. Don't torture yourself.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. And out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. For peace train sounding louder,
ride on the peace train.
Come on the peace train, get peace train holy roller.
Everyone jump on the peace train.
Come on. Come bring your good friends too, cause it's getting nearer, it's soon for me with you. Now come and join the living, it's not upon you. And it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Come on.
been crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live and live? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. This peace train, oh, is rolling.
Everyone jump on the peace train.
Come on, peace train. Hey, yes, it's the peace train.
Chase and to Wachovia, Wells Fargo, Sally Mae, to MasterCard and Citibank, and also B of A. American Express and Visa.
We're back here on the Guy James Show. Welcome. Glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Waiting on an interview. Don't know where they're at. A little late in calling. We shall see. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call, and we hope you will. 866-546-5254. Guess we've commented enough about Ann Coulter since last night, but, you know, I was thinking maybe that Elizabeth Edwards' call might spark some, maybe some decency for the people that do the booking over at MSNBC who had this psychotic woman on for a full hour. I don't mind listening to right-wingers. I mean, you want to listen to a conservative point of view, that's fine. You know, get people. I mean, I don't like them particularly, but you know, get Bill Bennett or get Victoria Tensing or George Will or some of these people. Their arguments aren't all that good, but they try. But you know, you get people like Ann Coulter and her ilk, and they give the game away. The FAR's got far too many intellectual bullies like her, whose real idea of discourse is insult and shock. And they don't inform voters of anything. They don't inform the people of anything. They just, you know, the idea is to titillate them. And when they're confronted by someone reasonable, as Ann Coulter was by Elizabeth Edwards last night, all they can do is sputter and whine and about being asked to be silent. I think Elizabeth Edwards' request last night was very reasonable. And yet Coulter sat there and went, gee, she's asking me, she's trying to shut me up. No, that wasn't it at all. Wasn't trying to shut her up. She's asking her to be reasonable. She's asking her to be decent. That's just what she was asking her to do. You think right-wing radio isn't important to the elected officials on the right? Let me tell you, it is important. And I think talk radio on the right, well, it's their game. It's their game. It's their number one player. It's their Shaq. It's their Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's the big boy on their team. Yes, they've got all the think tanks in Washington, D.C. Yes, they've got Fox News. But right-wing talk radio is what's doing the job for them. And recently, Trent Lott told the New York Times talk radio is running America. Trent Lott said that. Talk radio is running America. He said we have to deal with that problem. And Lott made this comment about right-wing talk radio's disproportionate influence on the Senate immigration debate. And they're all over him, as you might have heard these past few days on right-wing talk radio. They've been crazy about this, beside themselves over this immigration thing. Absolutely. I don't think I've ever seen an issue that's got them so stirred up. And isn't it odd? These people who call people on the left intolerant. Oh, yes, and you've heard that charge made many times. They call us intolerant. Here are people that have been with George Bush from the very beginning on the war. They've been with George Bush from the very beginning on Gitmo and taking away habeas corpus. They've been with George Bush on his tax cuts for the rich. They've been with George Bush on everything, and they've defended him to the hilt on everything he has done. George Bush could do no wrong, but you let him come up with one thing that they don't like, and it's this immigration bill. Oh my. All of a sudden, who's intolerant? Uh-huh. They've accused us on the left of being that way all along, but they, so their guy, Junior Bush, he's backing this immigration bill, and all of a sudden he's a pariah. They don't want anything to do with him anymore. Never mind that they've been with him on everything so far. Never mind that. But getting back to what I was talking about the right-wing talk radio, the disproportionate influence that it's had on the Senate immigration debate, and man, they're all over Trent Lott for this. And some odd things have come up on this. Hugh Hewitt, for example. He's had several ideas that Senator John Kyle from Arizona said, well, you know, I want to talk to Hugh Hewitt about his ideas. Actually asking Hugh Hewitt for his ideas. Hewitt had Kyle on as a guest on Thursday and asked, does the bill provide for any separate treatment of aliens and illegal aliens from countries of special concern? And Kyle replied, and I found it a fascinating reply, it's going to, as a result of your lobbying efforts to me. And to show you how crazy they are, Hewitt has suggested before that former Senator Rick Santorum would be an ideal Supreme Court justice. That's when I'm buying a ticket to someplace else, when Rick Santorum gets on the Supreme Court. And Neil Bortz, he's popped Senator Saxby Chambliss over his qualified support on the immigration bill, and Bortz was brought in to consult with Chambliss, even though the senator was not an on-air guest during the debate, but now Chambliss opposes the bill. So you think they don't have influence? They do. Conservatives take up 91% of the talk radio airwaves. 91%. You talk about unbalanced? It's as unbalanced as it could possibly get. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Give us a call. La la la, la 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 la.
Dear Mr. President, come take a walk with me.
Take a walk with me.
Let's pretend we're just two people and you're not better than me. I'd like to ask you some questions if we can speak honestly. What do you feel when you see all the homeless on the street? Who do you pray for at night before you go to sleep? What do you feel when you look in the mirror? Are you proud? How do you sleep while the rest of us cry? How do you dream when a mother has no chance to say goodbye? How do you walk with your head held high? Can you even look me in the eye and tell me why? Dear Mr. President, were you a lonely boy? Can you say no child is left behind? We're not dumb and we're not blind. They're all sitting in your cells while you pave the road to hell. What kind of father would take his own daughter's rights away? And what kind of father might hate his own daughter if she were gay? I can only imagine what the First Lady has to say. You've come a long way from whiskey and cocaine. How do you sleep while the rest of us cry? How do you dream when a mother has no chance to say goodbye?
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Got about, 17 half minutes left in the program. We hope you'll give us a call by joining us here at 866-546-5254. And right now we've got a caller on the line from Howard Dean territory. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
How you doing, Guy?
Good.
Hey, you know, a whole bunch of what you were talking about today, as I listen, it seems to me to, I don't know if you deliberately did it or not, but it seemed to revolve a lot around money and the power of money. And, you know, this involves our elections and access that we get to politicians, and as a result, the laws we get. This is, we see this reflected in, as you said, the huge amount of talk radio, for instance, that is deliberately Republican-oriented. It's not even conservative. It's Republican-oriented radio, period. You see this on the television and what is passed off as news and all, where the big corporations won't cover the topics that are going to work against their best, what they perceive as their best self-interest. And it may not seem fair, and maybe it isn't fair. I don't know if I can pass judgment on that somebody has that much more money than I do, that they can wield that much more influence than I can. But it is a fact of what we have to deal with right now until things change, which I believe they should, and they can, and I also believe they will. But in the meantime, we have to learn how to be smarter than the money. You know, we can't sit there and just bemoan the fact that the money is distributed unfairly, and thus what are we going to do? We have to figure out ways to be smarter than the big money. And there are ways out there. People are doing it a lot on a very local level. Where you see a lot of progressive activity going on that, you know, over time will filter up the ladder as people realize that, you know, the way to beat the big money is just be smarter than it.
And give me some example.
Well, I would say to here in Vermont, instant runoff voting, okay? There is a lot of the top-down pressure in both the political parties, and you see most of the punditry in Vermont as opposed to instant runoff voting. On the other hand, people have kept making contacts at the small local level and have built up a web of support that built itself up from the grassroots up, literally. And as a result, so far in Vermont, this first half of our biennium, we did get an IRV bill passed out of the Senate. It's over in the House. Now, whether it goes beyond that, that depends on whether the people want to continue doing what they've been doing. Another good example of that is the Vermont Senate passing the impeachment resolution on George Bush earlier this year. That was something which was not wanted to be taken up. And there was a ton of resistance from the top down and the whole Democratic Party about not taking up that impeachment resolution. People networked together. They talked to each other outside of the radio. You didn't get a lot of coverage on the issue, of people getting together for the impeachment resolution on either the television or the radio in Vermont, and very little in the newspapers, although there was some coverage because of our town meeting. But people got together, and under the radar, they all got together and all of a sudden showed up en masse at the State House one day and got the Democratic leader in the Senate to change his mind and do the right thing.
Now, I like what you're saying, and I agree. And you said you think things are changing and that they should change and that they will change. And I love that attitude. But here's my question to you. Over the past couple of decades, the right-wing think tank money, and I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars,
yep,
have kicked our left-wing asses. What do you think, why do you think that we're going to reverse that trend? What have you seen? I know you've given me a couple of examples there. What have you seen on a national scale that makes you think we can overcome that? I'm all for this.
Well, that's just it. I'm not even concerned with the national scale because that will come along as the mass builds up.
You're with the old Tip O'Neill school that all politics is local?
Well, essentially it is. People are looking at what's going on around them. Look, in 1995, I was just as far as the public political discussion, I wasn't at all involved. I was listening to this local, well, you call him a right-wing talking head who had this local yokel show on a local yokel radio station that I happened to appreciate a lot at that time. And, I didn't particularly like him, but I remember listening to him and saying, God, this guy's just telling one lie after another, and people are calling up going, ooh, that's right, ditto, 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 et cetera. And I said, you know, damn it, I want to get out there and start telling people the truth. So it turned out this guy was moving out of the state, and nobody knew who Dorky Rahmschneider was, absolutely nobody. But I went up and, along with somebody else, pitched a radio show to this local radio station, and they decided to go with us. I had no experience in it at all. But all of a sudden, there was a whole different voice, a whole different point of view being presented in the central Vermont area. And, you know, did everybody listen to me? No. Did everybody like me? No, but I did. You know, there were people that listened. It was a very participatory show. And it dealt, and it was almost myopically, dealt with central Vermont issues. I mean, I did talk about national issues, but I tried as much because it was such a small station to stay myopically local. So these things do build up. And then it does influence people over time. I can't help but believe that it was a grassroots effort that influenced Howard Dean and made him the populist that he ran as for president a handful of years ago. Howard Dean was considered a very conservative Democrat in Vermont until he ran for president.
But what eventually took him down?
Well, what eventually took him down was the party machine, but that's fine. Look, you're not going to beat everybody from the get-go. I'm just saying you can't sit there and say until we change the rules, we can't make things better. This is, I guess, the essence of my argument. My argument is we've got to get smarter than the money so that we can get a point to where we can change the rules.
Well, I think you're right because and that's what we're going to have to do, and they say necessity is the mother of invention there, and it's going to have to be that case because we will not fight their money. I think we've shown that we will not, we cannot. And so your idea is that's the direction it's going to have to come from.
Well, and I'm not personally, I'm not of the mind of wasting my time trying to fight somebody else's big money. I mean, I can't run a big expensive advertising campaign on something or buy an hour's worth of radio time on the radio 5 days a week, anything like that. So why even bother? I'm not going to fuss over it. Yeah, I'm going to take notice of what's going on. And I'm going to try to affect the political process through my vote and lobbying my legislators. I formed a political action committee with some people to try to directly influence some specific issues. You know, I'm going to direct my energies in a direction where they can have an effect instead of spending my time constantly fighting. And I'm not trying to denigrate what other people are doing or saying, because I happen to agree with you 100% when you talk about the corruption of money. But when we as individuals, or when we band together as groups, you know, we need to direct our energies in a way that's going to be of most profit to ourselves. And the most profitable ways are those that are going to actually work towards changing things. Now, you talked about the Republican, or this Republican, this Republican lie machine that built up over the decades. You know, they started that literally back in the 60s. If you go back and look at where the first rounds of these mass mailings and these targeted mass mailings and these radio shows and these television shows, et cetera, started going. That, you know, they started that off back in the 60s, and they spent a long time building it up. And what we see today with this Republican hegemony, you know, under the name sometimes of Democrats, what we see today is not an accident. It was a very deliberate process. That it was a path people set out on and said, this is where we are, this is where we're going, this is where we're going to be. And so it's no accident that we're putting up with what we're putting up here. It's a crying shame. But we have to take the same attitude and sit there and say, look, this is where we are, in a rotten place. This is where we're going, to a good place. This is where we're going to end up in a really great place, and start out down the path and start doing it so that, you know, 20 years from now, with a very deliberate process, a little bit of sanity is back in control.
Well, I completely agree with what you're saying, and I find it so frustrating that so many well-intentioned people are trying to do what you're talking about. And I can just give an example here locally. One of the local counties here has built up and let me explain to everybody, we're in right-wing hell here where I live. It is as hardcore red as you can find any place in the country, with a possible exception of Utah. But it's hardcore right-wing here, red everywhere you look. And one of the local counties here, I'm not going to mention which one, but they've built a very nice Democratic organization and built themselves up to the point where they've got several hundred members and have done a great job of getting out the vote. In fact, we're in the top couple of counties in the entire state. And they've done it by activism, individual activism, with a great Democratic club and people out working the precincts and working the phones, doing it the way you're mentioning it, with people the old-fashioned way, and everybody contributing a little something here. And so they get a new group come in with money. Said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to write checks to the state party, and the state party is going to do all this now. And on, and they've destroyed this local activism that you've talked about, and it's a shame. It's an uphill battle, but I do think you're on the right track.
Well, let me just throw in one more thing. I guess two more things, if I could, and these can be really quick. One,
please do.
Vermont has a very unique, and my dogs are going to start barking here because my wife just got home, but Vermont has a very unique building its political parties. Every 2 years, every major political party literally has to rebuild itself from the ground up, and that tends to make it much more responsive to the grassroots than in other places. There is no, you can't have a top-down hierarchy that's really going to control things too tightly in the parties, because you know, it literally is, you rebuild every 2 years. And the other thing is, I've been working with the local Community Economic Development Committee. And one of the things that I got them working on, it was a community broadband project, because we're getting crappy service from Verizon and the cable company. I don't even know their name offhand. And the people who I got interested in this, as far as I can tell, under their own, would never have thought about a community project to bring fiber optic systems into our town. But now we're sitting here marching down the road. I don't know if we'll end up getting it, but we are actively investigating in a very serious way a proposal from Burlington Telecom to bring fiber optics network into town on a community-owned basis, something owned by Williamstown itself. So it's these things that they add up. People get out and force their way. Sometimes you got to force your way to get onto some of these local committees, you know. But you got to do it. You got to get out there and get involved. And people start going, wow, you know, there are really some sensible ideas here. Let's pursue this. And what's great about the local level, I've discovered, even your most hard right-wing Republicans are actually communists at the local level. Everybody loves taking care of the local community.
You're right. You're right. That's first and foremost. My backyard.
And I thank you. I'm going to hang up now.
Well, thanks so much for calling. A great call. I agree with what you're saying. The premise of it, and I only hope we can work hard enough to do it and stimulate everybody to get out and do exactly what you're talking about. That's part of what this show is all about. Thanks for calling. Ah, yes, the beautiful state of Vermont. Love Vermont. Love the Northeast. I do. The Mainers, New Hampshire. New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, Rhode Island. Nice territory. I've been there. Really is. Beautiful. 866-546-5254. We have perhaps one more time for one more call here today, maybe, if it's a quick one. Don't forget what happened last night with the Sam Coulter thing. Don't forget that. And don't forget what kind of people we're dealing with here when we deal with those kind of people. These are these people that we talked about, these authoritarians. And Glenn Greenwald is coming out with a new book, and he's talking about it. I have great respect for the writing of Glenn Greenwald. And the authoritarian followers, as Glenn says, usually support the established authorities in their society, such as government officials and traditional religious leaders. Such people have historically been the proper authorities in life, the time-honored, entitled, customary leaders, and that means a lot to authoritarians. Psychologically, these followers have personalities featuring, one, a high degree of submission to the legitimate established authorities in their society. Number two, high levels of aggression in the name of their authorities. And three, high levels of conventionalism. Conventionalism is defined later on in the chapter as believing that everybody should have to follow the norms and customs that your authorities have decreed. Robert Greenwald always puts it so well. How and why people are this way and what this means for our politics is what he spends the rest of the book explaining. Why are authoritarians so aggressive? Why indeed? Why, you know, because they're afraid. Why are they so conventional? Because they're largely impervious to reason. Why do they defer to authority? Because they are, in fact, submissive, or at least that's a highly oversimplified summary of his findings. So they're also extraordinarily vulnerable to being conned by people, these social dominators, people like Ann Coulter. Unlike authoritarians, social dominators are not fearful, are not submissive, and are not highly conventional, but they do not dominate these people, and these people are too, must I say it, naive or stupid to understand what's happening to them. I'll never understand how they convince somebody to go out and vote against their own interest, but they do it time after time after time. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon here on the Guy James Show. I appreciate your listenership so very much each and every day. It's important. I want you to remember, if you will, that this is a listener-supported program. We need your support. And we are grateful for it. Thanks so much for listening today. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And never forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.